Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. In any budget, any federal budget, it's really quite easy to go deep into the weeds. We have a 140-page outline of something that, on paper at least, looks pretty significant for the Washington, D.C. of this generation and the Congress that's going to have to go over it line by line. And we'll have lots more lines to go over in April when the details are fleshed out. But as Jerome Vaughn of WDET and I were talking about somewhat clumsily a moment ago, this could be, in a sense, a return to the kind of broad, visionary legislative agendas that we've known of a generation ago in the 60s and even earlier in the Franklin Roosevelt era. And here to talk about whether that's even possible in Washington today is Matthew Bishop from The Economist, and he's the author of Philanthrocapitalism, How the Rich Can Save the World. He joins us from Barcelona in Spain. Matthew, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And, you know, your book is about how the rich can save the world. It would seem that the Barack Obama budget is taking a little pressure off the rich and shifting to the private sector once again, being the kind of global saviors here. First of all, do you see that in the Obama budget? And is a shift away from sort of private sector philanthrocapitalism something that's in the cards given the economic environment?
Well, I think the budget is clearly relying on the rich paying a lot more tax than they paid under the Bush administration. And, you know, I don't think actually, if you look at the numbers, that however hard you soak the rich, is going to be enough to make the sums add up. But I think Obama's interesting in the sense that he both bashes the rich but also wants to partner with them. And, you know, he used to, his first job was working for one of, for a wealthy philanthropist. He understands, the social, innovation that can come out of philanthrocapitalism that I write about in the book. And he's going to set up a White House office of social innovation that will try and, you know, partner with the wealthy and with social entrepreneurs to drive change through government so that you don't just get bigger government, you get smarter government. So I don't think you can characterize it simply as a sort of pro-rich or anti-rich budget. It's kind of a new approach, and if it could come off, it will be quite interesting.
What about the sort of programmatic elements of the budget? I mean, these are big ideas that Congress hasn't really dealt with on this sort of scale for a generation. Do you think Congress is prepared to take these things on, a Congress that's so used to kind of incremental tweakings over the last 8 to 18 years?
Well, it's an extraordinarily ambitious agenda that Obama has set out. And I think, you know, he clearly has a mandate in terms of he won a very decisive election victory on this agenda. The economic situation is so perilous at the moment that, you know, it's really hard to know how much of any of this will be able to come to pass. The first question is going to be whether the stimulus package is going to be enough to stop the economy dropping off a cliff. And if it doesn't work, then there's going to have to be more stimulus packages. And the nature of those is that Congress tends to make those much more sort of incremental, as you say, and focused on where you can pump money into things that are shovel-ready, as the phrase goes, rather than actually the more visionary agenda-setting stuff that Obama's talking about. And then you've got the detail of the Obama programs, which, you know, are still far from worked out. And so, Congress has the ability to sort of fiddle with the details so that they turn out to be very different to what is originally proposed.
It's a long, long path from here to April. Joining us now is Peter Panapento, who's a web editor for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. If there's a cliff to be peered over, it's definitely where nonprofits are at this point on the edge, both because of the economic downturn and also because of some of the details of how, as Matthew Bishop sort of alluded to a moment ago, the Obama administration plans to raise money by increasing taxes and reducing deductions, tax deductions for nonprofit donations that were the domain of people who make more than $250,000 a year. First of all, Peter, thanks for joining us. And how threatened are revenues to nonprofits and charities from these changes that are anticipated in the tax code by the Obama administration?
Well, thank you. It really depends on who you talk to, really, in terms of how significant this change is going to be. As you alluded to, what the budget is proposing is that the charitable deduction that wealthy donors can take on charitable donations is going down from a cap of about 33% to 35% of their donation to 28% of their donation. So if somebody were to donate $100,000 to charity, instead of getting, say, a $35,000 tax deduction, they're getting a $28,000 tax deduction. There are many folks out there who are worried that change, on top of all the other changes and on top of the economic situation, is really going to affect giving among high-end donors. But there is some pushback from some other thinkers that I've been talking to, who think that the rich will give regardless of what the tax rate is. So there is a bit of push and pull on just how significant that change is going to be.
Is there a way of describing what the source of most of the money is? Is it the super rich, people who are way higher in income than $250,000, or does much of it cluster around the low end of the scale? I would think that the high end aren't going to be so affected. The lower end definitely would.
Giving comes from all kinds of different sources, and it's not just individual givers. It's foundations and government and all kinds of other sources too. So it's a pretty complicated pie that a lot of charities take their money from. Folks who make less than $250,000 a year, which is the majority of us, about 98% of us, are not going to be affected by that change at all. So it really is only the top 2 or 3% of all donors, individual donors, who would be affected by that change. So we're talking about a very small slice of the American population, but certainly it's a slice of the population that gives a lot of money to charity.
Last question for both of you. I'll begin with you, Peter. Matthew Bishop alluded to this idea that the Obama administration is trying to create a partnership with the rich. Given these tax changes and the increase in taxes for the top 2%, is it going to feel like a partnership, do you think?
A lot of the comments I'm hearing is it's not feeling much like a partnership at this point among folks in that part of the income scale.
Matthew Bishop, are the rich going to feel like they are partners when they're simply paying higher taxes?
Well, I think it depends on how serious Obama is about the social innovation agenda. He has made a big statement about charter schools, which are largely funded by the sort of wealthy philanthrocapitalists I write about in my book. And if he is serious about that, then there'll be a lot of wealthy people, both Republicans and Democrats, that are see his administration as a great opportunity.
Well, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to be a part of that social innovation. Matthew Bishop from The Economist, author of Philanthrocapitalism, How the Rich Can Save the World, and Peter Panapento, web editor for The Chronicle of Philanthropy, a test of the Obama administration.